On this episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast, we talk about Halloween Horror Nights' latest announcement, and we talk about what's coming to SeaWorld next.
Hey, and Star Wars animated series, a new one's coming, and Marvel. Have we talked about Marvel enough? Let's talk about more Marvel, because Marvel and Marvel, Marvel. Thrill Geek Podcast, now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast once again. We got some catching up here to do. So we've had the past couple episodes have been special episodes. They're very special.
A very special episode.
We had our Infinity War spoiler episode, and most recently, which was posted on Monday, was our episode with Grant Wilson, which if you haven't listened to yet, make sure you listen to it, because we talked about some pretty cool stuff with Grant, from theme parks to some paranormal stuff to just kind of geeking out with him, and we had a really good time. So make sure you go back and download that episode.
But and that our
Infinity
was,
War episode.
But that was then. This is now. So we've got all kinds of stuff that's happened in the last few weeks that we haven't talked about because we've been doing other stuff. So,
yep.
I think we jump right into it.
Yeah. First things first, one of the biggest announcements over the past couple weeks, like you said, has been a new Halloween Horror Nights announcement for another house. Dead Exposure is, let me get my stuff open here. I'm slacking.
Dead Exposure is basically a sequel to one of the original Dead Exposure house was back in 2008, so 10 years later. We have a sequel to that house. And the interesting thing to me, and here's where it set off all kinds of speculation. It takes place in 1982. And I find that very interesting. I'll be at Paris, 1982, not in the U.S.
When did the original Dead Exposure take place?
That's a good question. I cannot remember when that took place. This one takes place in Paris. 1982. Sort of the description of the house is in Paris, 1982. A virus is turning people into vicious zombies. Shocking. We've seen that before. As they try to escape the living dead, they will be engulfed in darkness where they will only see what's lurking in the shadows under bright flashes of UV lights. But beware, guests will never know where someone or something may be hiding. That was one of the standout things about, if I remember correctly, about that house was the strobe lights that were timed to camera clicks that sort of simulated like photographs, which strobe lights in houses is it's one of my favorite things because it totally messes with your irises.
I remember the original Dead Exposure because it was probably one of my favorites from that year.
And it sounds like they're going to be using sort of the same thing because I think it was like blacklight strobes that it was like timed to camera clicks and created a flash effect. And if I remember, they used like blacklight paint on like the costumes and some of the sets. So it like, it freaked you out because if I remember right, like the house was mostly, you're in dark most of the time. And the only time you could see was when the flashes were going, you would see. And I did. It's definitely one that I remember, that's one of the ones that stood out from, that year. So
that was pretty close to when did you start going to Horror Nights?
That was, I think that was like, third or fourth year.
That was pretty close to when you started.
Yeah, it was like third or fourth year I went. I'm trying to remember that. I think I had a frequent fare pass that year. That might be one of the years, because there's early years. There were some years I had a frequent fear and some I just like went like one night. But yeah, I definitely remember that house. So
the other thing that I liked about the Dead Exposure House was the sound effects, because I distinctly remember the sound effect of they played this sound of like the flash charging up, like it was like a high pitched whining noise.
Yeah, because you would hear the click, and then you hear the charging up, and
that's one thing that I really remembered about the house, were the sounds of the flash charging up, and you knew something was about to come, which really built up. You know, you're like, what's coming, and the flash would go off, and it really gave the scare actors a lot of cool things to play around with. You know, the poses they could make, and because
I remember you'd see them and then it would flat, you know, then hit dark, and then next thing you know, they'd like be like right in your face. I think this is definitely one that, you know, a lot of people, you know, once it was announced, and especially like those of us who are longtime fans, definitely are excited about, because it's definitely one of those original houses that stood out from years ago. So
yeah, and I was really surprised that we got an original house for the second announcement for Horror Nights.
Yeah,
because usually they knock out all the IPs first, you know, the Walking Deads, the big names first before they even get to the original ideas.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I mean there's been rumor back and forth about, you know, or how many IP are we getting, like 5 IP houses this year, or are we only getting 4 because of, you know, maybe the cost of how much Stranger Things cost to acquire,
and not even the cost, just the sheer popularity of Stranger Things. I mean, shoot, I'd be happy with Stranger Things and 8 original houses.
I mean it definitely, you know I definitely sort of missed the days of like, you know, that there was, you know, there was majority original houses, you know. I mean, originally it was all original houses for the most part, and then it was once we first got the IPs, it was still majority original houses. But for the most part, though, it's original houses of sort of, when, since we've gone to what, 9, it's been 5 IP houses and 4 original houses. Yeah. So, I mean, I always like it when they bring stuff back. You know, that's one of the fun things, you know, being a fan of the event, is when they bring updated versions of original houses over the years. So, because I don't think...
Let me ask you, if they could, since you've been going,
mm-hmm.
if you could bring back one sequel, if you could bring a sequel back to any house, what would you bring back?
That's a good.
I saw a lot of people asking this after they announced Dead Exposure, the Patient Zero one. A lot of people were asking on Twitter and stuff, like, if you could have a sequel to a house, which one would it be?
That's a good question, because I mean, we've had multiple versions of. Has it been 3 versions of Run over the years?
Body Collectors is a big one too. Body Collectors,
you know, the use of, overall the use of what Shady Brook has been used not only in houses, but also scare zones. We had things that have been used over the years. That's a good question, because I'm trying to think.
Need to put some more thought into it and want to come back?
No, I mean if I mean, I don't want to, I don't want, I'm already, I'm ready for, I mean, just based on like last year alone, I'm ready for a new Scarecrow and a new Dead Waters, you know. And actually the one from the previous year, the Wild West one, that's another one I think you could bring back. I mean,
that's my goal.
Yeah. That's another one I think you could bring back in a different form, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's just recent stuff. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard, 'cause I'm trying to think of like, the original ones that have stood out over the years. Like I said, Body Collectors is almost every time, every version they've done of that, I've always really enjoyed. I definitely hope for 30. Yeah. I would, after they, what they did for 25 with the Icons House, I hope for 30, we're going to get an Icons House again. Cause that thing was awesome. That house was so much fun and so good. And had,
that was a good, house.
For long time fans, that was one of the highlights of that, probably the highlight of that year was that house. So I mean, I definitely hope 30 we get an Icons House again, and that was the first big house too, if I remember correctly. That was the first time they made like a really gigantic house, which has become a common thing now.
Yeah.
Having like an epic house. And cause I remember, cause you'd get halfway through and you're like, holy crap, it's still going, you know, we still got to, it's not over with yet.
Yeah. Especially some of the Walking Dead houses. Yeah. What was the year they did the Uber house with Walking Dead? I think that was, it was the year that like when they were in the prison or whatever.
Yeah.
That house was insane. I thought it was never
going
to end.
Yeah. It kept going and going and going and it
kept going and going and going.
And then they came out with the 25 house and that one was just like, it didn't end. Yep. And then we've had the two epic house, the two American Horror Story ones the last 2 years that have been pretty epic. So yeah, no, I mean, I always like it when we get sequels to the original stuff. So I'm looking forward to this. And like I love, and anyone who listens to our podcast knows I love the houses where they use strobes and lights to mess with your eyes, because those are the type of houses that get me, you know.
Yeah, it really disorients you and gets you.
Anything that just
really
disorients me is the type of stuff that will actually get me. So
yep, we got the video, we got the description, everything up on thrillgeek.com. They actually did a pretty cool little video for the announcement, so we have all that up on the website. So be sure to check that out if you haven't yet. It's a really cool quick little announcement video. So
now Halloween Horror Nights can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
Changing gears slightly here from one spectrum to the other. SeaWorld finally officially announced that Sesame Street is coming to Shamu's Happy Harbor. It's been rumored for quite some time that Shamu's Happy Harbor was going to get some kind of change, some kind of transformation. And then slowly the Sesame Street thing started to seep in.
Well, they said 2022, I think, or 2021.
Yeah, there were a lot of people saying that this wasn't going to happen until 2021.
And then I have a feeling, you know, when the new, I don't know if this was started before the new people took over, but it really started to come out in the last 6 months that this was getting pushed up, that they were pushing this up. And to me, this is one of the smartest things SeaWorld has done in a while. And it makes perfect sense next year with Disney adding Star Wars Land and Universal expanding Hogsmeade with their new coaster / dark ride hybrid. This going after the preschool to like 6-7 year olds is a very smart move. And also you got the nostalgia factor. Cause I mean, I can't wait to walk down Sesame Street and see, you know, Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch. And
yeah, Sesame Street's, a timeless classic. So I think it was really smart on SeaWorld's part to, if they did, supposedly bump this up for next year. Like you said, to compete with the Star. I mean, it's not going to compete, but
it's a niche counter programming. And it's a type of thing that, you know, Legoland has been successful because of its, you know, well, Lego is a popular brand, but it serves a niche that in some aspects, you know, Universal obviously, but but even Disney in a little bit has left behind, and that's those really young kids. Yep. And you know, the interesting thing compared to the other SeaWorld / Busch parks, this is going to be actually Sesame Street. It's not going to be the Safari of Fun or at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, where it's like a European, you know, Hamlet version of Sesame Street.
Yeah, no, this is going to be Sesame Street. Like, it's like you're in the show.
Yeah, and they're literally going to reroute the way the park, you go around the park, where you're going to have to go through Sesame Street, which I think is another smart thing, is it's going to make you go through that area. And so, I mean, they're basically building a themed land, which, you know, has obviously become the popular thing when it comes to theme parks right now.
Yeah.
And
it's going to, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't too happy about it because, you know, this is going to close. I'm hearing that they're going to keep a few rides open in Shamu's Happy Harbor, but this is going to shut down, you know, 80-90% of Shamu's Happy Harbor. So there's not going to be a whole lot for little kids to do at SeaWorld for.
Well, I think they'll, if I remember correctly, I mean, they're getting rid of the big giant play structure, but there's new wet and dry play areas that are going to be added. I don't think they're really getting rid of the rides.
No,
I think they're adding one more ride or something like that. Based what, obviously not the official press release, but based on what a lot of, like, I guess permits and other stuff that's been filed is.
Shamu's, me and Jordan were there for Shamu's Express last day.
Yeah.
Which was sad, but it's still going to be there. They're obviously going to retheme it. You can see it in the concept artwork that we have up on the website that they released. There is a roller coaster in the background, and it looks to be like it's Shamu's Express just rethemed to obviously something Sesame Street. So
yeah, I mean, it's a shame they're going to lose that. We assume lose that giant play structure, because there's definitely, most parks don't have anything like that anymore.
Yeah, God, that's been there since I was a kid.
Yeah,
since me and you've been.
But I can understand that been there why it takes up a huge chunk of space. So
it does. It's huge.
I can understand why it would go bye bye. Yeah, obviously it's going to be. It's interesting how they're going to deal with the fact they're going to have to close off a bunch of this. I'm be interested to see how many rides remain open during construction, because. You know,
they're going
to have to close off a huge chunk of that area. But I think as much as that construction, you know, is going to disrupt things, in the end, this is the best thing for SeaWorld. Like I said, this is counter programming. This goes after families with young children, and it's Sesame Street. And
they just have to advertise.
They're going to have a little parade too, which is something SeaWorld's never.
Yeah, had. We forgot to mention the parade.
So, I mean,
SeaWorld's first ever parade.
You know, this is the type of stuff that, you know, to me, you know, will attract young families who spend money. That's obviously their key now, is, you know, they've really obviously gone hard into going after locals and annual pass holders, and families with little kids spend money, you know, even if it's, you know, they're there and they have to get a drink or a snack. You know, when they're there, you know, these people spend money, and I think, and it gives them something no one else has. You know, other parks have roller coasters, other parks have water rides, but other parks don't have Sesame Street.
Yeah. The merchandising thing will be huge too, because I mean, there's no limit to Sesame Street merchandise.
And like I said, it's Busch Gardens has a Sesame Street area, but theirs is different. You know, there, like I said, there's a safari theme. Well, this will be, you know, they'll be able to tout, you can walk down Sesame Street. And I think that to me is the smart move that they went with going, making it straight up Sesame Street and not some sort of like Sesame Street seaside town type thing. Because
They went straight for the Sesame Street. Yeah,
because that's what people want. So. I, you know, people want to be able to, like, you know, you'll be able to, there'll be little interactive elements. You'll be able to, you know, be able to take your picture on Sesame Street, which, you know, as much as we may not like it, that's become the thing, is having places for people to take cool pictures at, too. It's weird, as weird as it is.
Yep.
It's become a thing.
That's the age we live in.
Yeah, and people want
to taking pictures in front of floating rocks.
Yeah, people want to be able to take their picture in front of Big Bird's house, and you know, in front of Hooper's store. So I think it's a great idea, great addition, a move in the right direction for SeaWorld. And yeah. I'm glad
I guess I can go ahead and say it. While we're on the subject of SeaWorld, and before I forget, Friday I'll be at Aquatica trying out Ray Rush, their new water slide. So maybe we'll talk about that next episode.
You will have tried it by the time this airs.
Yeah, this is going to be, yeah. So, but anyways, I'll be there on Monday or Friday. So
I may
anyways,
be there yeah. too for something.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, SeaWorld, Sesame Street, next year. And obviously this year they have Infinity Falls to get up and going. And
clock is ticking on that one, because I guess on the earnings call, they want it open by July 4th weekend, which I really hope that they're not opening it at the same time as Toy Story Land, because it's going to get buried in
publicity from Disney.
Publicity. But it'll be interesting to see, because being a water ride and being a raft ride like that, the test and adjust phase is pretty long. I think it's like a minimum a month, because there's so many scenarios that they have to test for when it comes to like a rapids ride.
You're dealing with water, so there's different. I mean, it's not a roller coaster that's tied to a track and it does the same thing over and over.
No, you're dealing with water, and there's a lot of different tests you
safety
have to do, safety yeah. wise, and you're also dealing with the steepest drop on a rapids ride. So there's dealing with that too. I mean, because computer simulations are one thing, as we've seen many times with rides. But reality is something especially, completely different,
especially with Intamin.
Yes.
As I told everybody on Twitter. SeaWorld's got some cool stuff coming this year, some cool stuff coming next year. So hopefully it does them well, and hopefully they can get themselves out of this rut that they've been in lately.
And speaking of something this year, Busch Gardens brought something back from the past.
They did.
And, you know, there was this big announcement, and everyone was thinking rides and stuff, even though the stuff they sent out, the hints they sent out was obvious it had something to do with beer.
Yeah.
But they're bringing back the two complimentary beer samples, for this summer, from May 1st through August 5th. Guests will be able to get up to two complimentary beers during their visit to Busch Gardens that day, which was like the past, back when it was owned by Anheuser-Busch.
The days of the hospitality house.
Yes. I understand the appeal. It was amazing to me to see the reaction from some people, like, you know, excited over getting two 7-ounce beer samples, it's obviously something that I guess they surveyed people, and it's obviously something that people still talked about and missed. It's cool that they're bringing back for the summer. And I guess the bigger thing, and this is, you know, I think where we tease you with the free beer, but then they created a Busch Gardens Brew Club, where you know, you join up and you'll have like a stein that will be reserved for you at the park, and you know, you pay like $5 for refills from the, I guess there's like 20 different brews that are going to be on tap, which, you know, craft beer is become a very big thing. And, and I can definitely see the appeal to that. And,
The whole local brewer thing has gotten really popular and all those. I mean, I'm not a beer drinker, so.
No, I mean, I'm mostly.
Appeal to me personally.
Yeah, I'm mostly hard liquor and ciders. That's about my thing.
But I can totally see where Busch Gardens is going with this. You know, like you said, bringing it back, one of the classic pastimes of Busch Gardens and SeaWorld was the free beer. So kudos to them for bringing back something that hopefully will bring in the I think the pass holders will obviously be the big thing for this.
Yeah.
The locals. Because they even didn't they announce like a festival or something like that?
Yeah, there's a beer
festival for this summer or something.
Yeah, there's a beer fest.
Okay, yeah, I see it right here. August 25th September 16th. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's smart because it fills a hole in sort of a slower time of the year. Which to me is
Yeah, the late August.
Yeah, it's sort of after their summer nights has ended and kids have gone back to school, and that period is usually a pretty slow time, especially for that park.
Yeah, and it's weekends only, August 25th to September 16th. So that'll be something cool going on down there at Busch Gardens.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's you know, in Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, I think, started this first, where, you know, they had like there's like a pint club and I think there's also a Stein club. So I'm going to be interested to see if they eventually, probably maybe not the Stein thing, but maybe introduce like a pint club to SeaWorld. I'll be interested to see if they do that eventually. And which would make sense, because I'm interested to see like Infinity Falls, what was called the Hospitality House. It's still there.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say. With Infinity Falls, they're redoing that whole area.
Yeah, to me, it would make sense. I mean, yeah, they opened the Flamecraft Bar, but that's outside. To me, it would make sense to make that, what was the Hospitality House, like a brew pub or something.
Sure.
Because you're going to be like right there, you know, with the ride around you. And so, you know, I'm assuming once the landscaping's put in, it's all going to look really nice. And, you know, in SeaWorld, you know, not to get back on SeaWorld, but SeaWorld sort of needs a refresh when it comes to some of their like food and offerings. Yeah. So, you know, well, I'll be interested to see if they bring like some sort of pint club or something like that to SeaWorld too, because it's obviously, I think it started at Busch Gardens, Williamsburg first, and they brought it to Tampa Bay now. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually bring it maybe to SeaWorld too. So.
Yeah, I agree with you with SeaWorld needing a food update, like you said, not to get back on SeaWorld.
Yeah.
but no, I can completely agree with you there with them needing, because their festival stuff has been really good, but their permanent food options, they could definitely use a refresh there.
Yeah, it hasn't really been refreshed that much in a while. I mean, besides the pretzel kitchen, which I like, that's usually when the festivals aren't going on, when I'm in the park, I usually go by the pretzel kitchen.
Us too.
And get something.
We'll go there with the kids and grab a couple pretzels and
that bacon. Just kind of bacon pretzel is so good. So
yeah,
even though it's a ton of carbs, but yeah, it's good.
It's so good. Yeah. All right, we've covered Universal. We've covered Busch Gardens,
but we haven't covered Universal on the other side of the world.
Oh yeah, Beijing,
the Beijing resort.
Universal's Shanghai, I should say.
Yeah, it is, you know, now based budget wise, you know, the budget was originally announced was $3.26 billion. Now it's basically doubled to $6.5 billion. And apparently they're going to be spending more money towards the entertainment district. Because, I mean, this is not just a park. This is
It's a full-on resort.
It's a full-on resort with hotels, and obviously they really are going harder into the entertainment district, which to me would make sense, because, you know, it's the part where people don't have to pay to go into. So you might want to you might want to beef up those offerings, for, you know, obviously in China, you know, the wage scale is different there. It's you know, and then they also revealed that Fast and Furious Supercharged will be, you know, Beijing will get a version of that attraction.
Yeah. And what was really surprising is they forecasted ten million visitors in its first year, which is exactly what Shanghai Disneyland saw its first full year of operation.
Yeah,
that's pretty bold number to throw out there.
That doesn't surprise me, considering. I mean, of course they're going to say, "Hey, we want as many people as Disney have in the first year." But you got to remember the properties that they're using are more well known in China than a lot of the Disney stuff was. Universal and especially DreamWorks has more of a foothold in China than Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney doesn't even have like a channel in China.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
That's true.
That was one of the things when they announced Shanghai. It was sort of one of the things that they were sort of criticized is the fact they didn't, they never tried to secure like a channel in China to introduce a lot of this stuff to the Chinese audience, where, you know, the Chinese audience knows Transformers. They know Fast and Furious. And I'm sure
they love the Minions.
Yeah, they love the Minions. They know these franchise, and there's some DreamWorks stuff that's obviously going to be in this park that I'm sure, you know, we'll eventually see more of in the future.
Yeah.
But I mean, they know there's a lot more well-known stuff in this park compared to a lot of stuff that, you know, people didn't know Disney wise. So the 10 million doesn't surprise me. And I wouldn't be shocked if they got that just based on the fact, some of the properties that are going to be in this park that are more popular and more well known. So.
Yeah, it definitely looks like, I mean, we have the original concept image. It's really kind of fun to go in and look at all of the all the different areas. You can pick out Jurassic Park, what looks to be Jurassic Park.
I didn't even say I'm assuming it will be Jurassic World.
Yeah. But we have it up on the website. You could go and kind of study it and check it out. It looks like it'll be a really cool park. And they're saying the park will be done by, I want to say it was 2021. I could be off though.
Right now, I think their target is still summer 2020 with possible late fall 2020.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we know with Disney Shanghai, it's that opening day got pushed back. That was like a couple of times.
Yeah, 2020, they're saying.
Got pushed back.
So
we'll see.
I see construction pictures, and it's just a big piece of, it's a big flat piece of sand right now. There's not a whole lot going on right now, but surely things will start picking up pace here shortly.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they end up having some of the same troubles that Disney had with the building of Shanghai Disneyland. So.
Moving over back over here, let's talk about really quick Animal Kingdom's 20th, which you were there for the big festivities, and I got there pretty much when you left.
Yeah, it was sort of funny. Like, are you still
here?
There
for the evening?
Like, no, I'm not. I've been tweeting.
Yeah, no, but you were there.
I was there for like 8 hours.
You were there pretty much all morning and then for the latter part of the afternoon. So
yeah, the 20th anniversary celebration, I guess, based on the weather forecast, because they were, and obviously since they were doing a live stream, got pulled in, got moved indoors, even though the weather was perfect. But I understand it because it was a live stream. You know, they had to make a decision based on what the original weather forecast was. But we still managed to get in, shockingly enough. You know, we got there and lined up in the standby line to get in. And, you know, we lucked out and got in to the 20th anniversary celebration. And it was fun. It was a nice, you know, like most of these 5-year anniversary things they do now, it was a nice little celebration and a couple of speeches. And they had all the characters out, and it was a fun little celebration. You can see it on YouTube. Yeah. It's on our YouTube channel. And, you know, it was a fun day. You know, it's got to see the new bird show, up a bird adventure or something. Yeah. I'm going blank.
How was that?
That wasn't too bad. I remember some people early reviews weren't very favorable, but I think they sort of inserted Doug and
up
Russell.
Up a Great Bird Adventure.
Yeah, Up a Great Bird Adventure. They inserted Doug and Russell in different moments in the show. They were in the entire show. They would sort of come and go.
They would just pop up and say, "Here we are."
Yeah, you know, they would pop up at different points in the show, but it's still, I mean, the birds were still the main star of the show.
Yeah. The show's basically similar to the previous.
Similar to the previous show. And we have the video of the full show, and you'll see, like most bird shows, they don't always do exactly what...
I was shocked you filmed that whole thing. I was
the things I did.
When you posted it to YouTube, I was like, holy cow.
They're obviously, the bird, like any animal show, sometimes the birds cooperate, sometimes they don't. And obviously being a newer show, they're still learning some of their, behaviors. But it was a fun show. I enjoyed it. And I thought the way they inserted the character Doug and Russell in the show was still a bird show. It just happened to have Doug and Russell inserted into it. So if that gets more people to go to that show, yay! Then people get to see the birds doing their thing, and that gets more people to go to that show, which gets people off the sidewalks and off other attractions, which is what shows are supposed to do, then that's a plus for the park.
Yeah, because I can't remember the last time I saw that bird show pre-adding.
It had been a while since I would see it maybe, once every couple of years or something, but it wasn't like a priority.
Yeah.
So we got as you saw on a social media check, we checked out some of the merchandise, which shockingly some of the day of merchandise is still available.
Yeah.
They I think Disney seems to, since Epcot's 25th, Disney has learned their lesson of not to leave money on the table when it comes to this day of merchandise. Albeit the Epcot 35 this year, they still had like a few things a day or two, but not, they definitely made plenty of the Animal Kingdom stuff, day of stuff. Cause I think someone posted a picture the other day that there were still some of the t-shirts were still left.
What else was going on there for the 20th? Well, I noticed when I got there with Jordan, there was a lot of street performers, lots of lots of street entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, they have plenty of street performers going on. They debuted in Pandora, they debuted the guy in the utility suit.
Yeah,
which is basically a stilt walker that's supposed to look like a mech. And actually in person, I remember like when they showed some pictures of it, people were like, oh my God. But in person, it's actually works way better in person than you would think it would.
Yeah. Uh,
And, you know, we have the video of that show on our YouTube channel, too. And it's a nice little diversion. It adds a little bit of extra energy and in Pandora, because that's sort of the thing. It's like Pandora's pretty and stuff, but then it's sort of been lacking in sort of like anything that's walk around. I mean, you have the drum show, which happens like, you know, it seems like every hour now. That drum show happens.
Yeah, that's been one of my biggest issues with Pandora is, yeah, it's a beautiful land, but the organic stuff,
there's
all these pretty plants that are supposed to be living and breathing and, you know, and all this stuff and animals, but the land has always been lacking street characters, or, you know, just more atmospheric stuff to bring that area even more to life.
I think this is a smart idea. I don't know why they don't have like a couple of like scientist characters maybe walking around. That might give it a little, you know, sort of like we have on Main Street and on Hollywood Boulevard. You know, yeah. to sort of give things more, a little bit more energy, sort of more kinetic energy in the land. Because, yeah, that's sort of the one of the things that lacking is like, yeah, it's pretty. But I we've always, me and you know, and Sin, and I'm sure you too, have felt, I wish they would have put a few more interactive things in the land itself to give it a little bit more kinetic energy. But it's a nice addition. It's you know, if you happen to stumble upon it, you know, it's fun to watch for a few minutes, because the cool thing about it is it's obviously a guy on stilts, but you know, there's speakers inside and based inside the thing, so when it moves it makes noises.
Oh, it's got like that mech sound.
Yeah, it's got that mech sound to it. So it's you know, in person, it's a lot more impressive than I thought I was going to be. So,
I was hoping I was going to be able to, that day, like when I got there with Jordan, that I was going to be able to see it with him. But unfortunately, I guess they stop it pretty early. I don't know.
Yeah, they've only been doing it in the mornings.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's just because it's something new that they're getting used to. I can't imagine. Especially during the summertime, I really can't imagine them doing it in the middle of the day, because I wouldn't want to have to work, go out in that thing in the heat.
Yeah.
So, I'd be interested to see how if they start sort of upping the amount of times he comes out during the day. So.
Yeah, I didn't ask or anything, but it wasn't out because me and Jordan got there about like 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Early evening. And he wasn't out then, so I would imagine they stop it pretty early. So,
yeah, I mean, it was a nice, it was a nice little celebration they did, and the interesting thing is they didn't give out a pin, but you could donate to the Disney Conservation Fund to get a 20th anniversary pin, a button.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that was a neat and a smart, and you could donate whatever you wanted to donate, to get that button. You know, it wasn't like you had to donate like, you know, $2,
a certain amount.
Yeah. They took whatever. Cool. So it was fun and it was interesting. I think this is a test, cause you know, it was a 2-week event. You know, I'll be interested to see if it was successful enough, because they also had additional. There was at the conservation station, they had some. They brought out some additional animal interactions, more so than normal. So they had that too going on there, and they had. I don't think they normally have Jiminy Cricket, and they had Jiminy Cricket doing a meet and greet there too.
Yeah, they had a bunch of, not a bunch, but they had a few rare characters.
Yeah, they had some extra. They had some extra characters out doing surprise meet and greets.
So,
and the other, you know, I mean, we didn't get, you know, the Donald Duck thing is coming later this summer. They sort of part that in as part of the 20th anniversary, even though that doesn't start till I think Memorial Day weekend. So,
oh, the dinosaur Donald Duck thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a fun day. You know, I would say my only negative to the whole day was and definitely a mobile order fail where it took we ate at the restaurant at Animal and not Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
In Pandora. And from the time I checked in to pick up the food to getting the food, it took a half an hour.
Yeah.
And that's, I've never, you know, I've done the mobile order thing a few times and never had that kind of experience before. That was a little bit on the disappointing side. And
yeah, I saw you tweet that out on your personal account.
Yeah, I that's the first time I've done the mobile ordering where it like I couldn't believe how long we were waiting. I felt like almost I could have waited in line and waited almost the
faster.
Same yeah, would have taken the same amount of time. So
yeah,
that may have been just that day. Who knows? But yeah, that was sort of the only disappointing thing that day. So
yeah. Well, we got about 10-15 minutes here. Let's touch on some of the pop culture stuff we've missed over the past few weeks. We'll talk about the new Star Wars Resistance show, new animated show coming, which looks pretty cool. That was announced, and it'll be coming to Disney Channel and Disney XD called Star Wars Resistance. Excuse me.
Yeah, and it's coming. The shocking thing is coming this fall. So
yeah, I mean, with Star Wars Rebels now all wrapped up, I guess this will be kind of its replacement. And it's going to take place before Force Awakens. And Poe will be back. Captain Phasma will be in the show, and they'll all be reprised by their original characters. So,
yeah, I mean, that's amazing that they're getting Oscar Isaac and Gwendolyn Christie to do the voices of the animated characters. That's normally doesn't happen.
Yeah, they usually find somebody that's similar and
yeah, it sort of sound and it's yep, that was Dexter.
Yeah.
and it's going to be it's created by Dave Filoni, who did Star Wars Rebels and also the Clone Wars. So he's sort of like the animation guru at Lucasfilm. So
yeah.
So I'm expecting good things from this. It'll be, you know, it's definitely to me it's gonna fill in some of the holes there and that, you know, stuff that happened before Force Awakens. It's sort of interesting how Star Wars sort of goes with the animated series, at least have sort of gone back and sort of filled in holes, you know, like the Clone Wars sort of filled in all the backstory during the Clone Wars, and the Rebels was, you know, basically the time before what Rogue One, basically it sort of led up to the time before that type of era, the Rebellion. So, you know, we'll get to the Resistance before the Force Awakens. So
I'm not even going to attempt to say it. Kazuda Ziono, I'm guessing that's how you say it. He's going to be the centerpiece character, the main character in the show.
Yeah, because, you know, since it's on Disney Channel, you know, we got to have the young pilot recruited by the Resistance and tasked with a top secret mission to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. So it's
yep.
gotta have that younger character.
Yeah. And apparently BB-8 will be heavy in it too, which will, you know, everybody loves BB-8. So apparently he's going to play a big part in the show too. So, and like you said, it comes out this fall, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be, I'm going to be interested to see if we're getting the full series this fall or we're going to get one of those. Disney seems to do these like two episode previews and then months later we get the season. It's like what they did, that two episode preview of the Big Hero 6 TV series like last November. And we're, I think, now in the next month, finally going to get like the season of it. And, you know, we know how like DuckTales, they've sort of dragged, you know, that out for, I guess we're finally getting some new episodes here this month. So
it'll be interesting to see what other characters, I mean, they announced, like I said, Poe will be back in it, Phasma, but it'll be interesting to see who else makes an appearance in this show, because surely that's all not they're going to bring back.
Well, no, I mean, you got to imagine, Leia's going to be in it. I mean, there's someone whose voice they animated Leia over the years. Leia's going to be out, and you would imagine Holdo, you know, all these characters who may have only gotten a brief moment in the movies, you'll probably see a little bit more of them in this. So
yeah. And I thought it was just a Disney Channel, but it's going to be, I guess, on Disney Channel and Disney XD. So I guess it's going to be airing on both of those.
Yeah, usually the animated stuff like that has been like Disney XD. Moving on from Star Wars to Marvel. Hey, have we not talked about a Marvel too much lately?
So much Marvel.
They debuted a new trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, and revealed more about the movie. And my only beef with this trailer is, I mean, it's cool looking and stuff, but I feel like it was one of those ones that revealed too much.
I mean, yeah, I was shocked at how much they showed during this trailer.
They sort of revealed the plot of the movie in the trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Marvel being Marvel, there'll be something in that trailer that, something that they've held back that we don't know about yet. You know, I like
look at Infinity War.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like the trailer. There's some fun moments in there. Once again, involving, you know, the shrinking or the or enlarging I definitely think it's going to be a fun movie. Now having both of them, you know, fighting together and having they both have their own suits and. You know, it takes place after Civil War and sort of the fallout of that. And I'm assuming, sure, the funny thing is, like, I expect this movie probably to make twice the amount of money that the original Ant-Man made. But, you know, people are going to go see it because whether they weren't that big of a fan of Ant-Man or not, because you got to imagine the mid-credit or end-credit scenes are going to have something to do with Infinity War.
Yeah. Because other than this,
this is it. This is not
between here and Infinity War. This is it until Infinity War.
No, until Captain
Marvel.
That's March of next year. So,
yeah. So,
and I like the first Ant-Man. It was a fun movie. Not the greatest villain. Hopefully, this is a step in the right. And apparently, the villain's female too. So. That's definitely something they haven't really done much of in the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be fun. I expect it to be fun, just like the first Ant-Man movie. And we will wait and see.
Yeah, I kind of told you a couple episodes back, you know, my whole thing with Ant-Man is the first one I was like, that was cool. The one thing that kept me interested was, you know, like you mentioned, them shrinking down and the special effects. That's one of the coolest things about the Ant-Man movies. And again, that's one of the most excited things I'm excited about with this one is, you know, the whole them shrinking down and this whole special effects thing again.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I think that's one of the coolest things with the Ant-Man films.
Yeah, that's to me, they did a great job with that showing the shrinking and we're going to get the
yeah, this one,
that whole bit where he's using the truck like it's a skateboard was just hilarious.
he's like kneeboarding on it.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. And they, you know, this sets them up for, you know, next year's Avengers, because they're both Ant-Man and Wasp are listed in the credits for Avengers 4. So we know they have a part to play next year. So.
Did you watch the video that was posted on YouTube? I think Marvel posted it. Where were Ant-Man and the Wasp during Infinity War?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
No. And they're all like, I don't know.
No, I think, you know, the like we've discussed with the Infinity War stuff, the people who weren't in that movie, they're going to be part of this next movie. And yeah, based on a lot of the interviews we've seen, they're going to be an integral part of the next movie. Yeah. So, which is good. That's what, you know, one of the things that's good is, you know, we know there's this next movie where there's going to be surprises and there's going to be, you know, stuff we don't expect. And so this will obviously, yeah, you know, much like all the other solo films, that there's always parts of it that move the story line along. So I'm sure probably the mid credit or end credits, or maybe the end of the movie, is something that will, you know, lead us a little bit more into Avengers 4. So
yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting to see the end credit scene for Ant-Man and the Wasp, how it sets, you know, because they got to start setting up for whatever Infinity War movie is going to be called.
Yeah. And I mean, it's crazy as of, you know, we're taping this Wednesday night, as of like yesterday, like Infinity War has made $472 million in the United States.
Yeah. I mean, it's broken. It flew past $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah. So, worldwide, it's at like 1.2 billion. And then I believe it just set, like, they just put the tickets on sale for China, and it set like the pre-sale record. It like broke the record for pre-sale tickets. Ridiculous. In China. And
I don't think there's a record this movie hasn't broken.
I saw it again, and I liked it even better the second time. Now that I knew everything, I could just sit back.
You saw it again last night.
Sit back and just let the movie unfold in front of me. And it was fun because it was a full... Tuesday night, it was a full theater where we saw it. I mean, yeah, sure, part of it is the fact that AMC has the $5 tickets for Stubbs members that day. But it was a full theater there, and there was definitely people there who had not seen the movie. So, yeah, you know, as usual, it ended in stunned silence. And but no, it was fun. It was fun. There was definitely some lines of dialogue and things I picked up on second time, because, you know, this is one movie where there's just so much going on. So there was fun. There was nice. It was nice just this time knowing everything.
Just sit back and relax and enjoy it.
Yeah, sit back, relax, enjoy it. And watching a second time, it's just such a good movie, even though this time knowing the ending, it's just so well put together, and I'm actually hoping to see it like one more time in the theaters before I move on to obviously Deadpool, which I already got my tickets for that. So
yeah, I gotta get tickets for that. See how long Movie Pass lasts here.
Yeah, enjoy it.
You know, I saw Ready Player One. I finally saw Ready Player One.
Yeah, did you like it?
Yeah, it was cool. It was a fun flick. It was like, I haven't read the book, and I kind of want to go and read the book now. But well, the movie itself,
a little bit different.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But no, my quick review, because we got to wrap things up here. It was an interesting movie. There's again, kind of like Infinity War. If you're just the pop culture references, there's so much to look at.
Yeah.
If you're a big pop culture geek like me and you, and you're trying to spot all the cameos of all the different characters in the background, and I want to see it again just for that aspect.
Oh, there's so much. It's like, it's like you're just like looking. It's like, holy crap, that's Hello Kitty.
Yeah. but no, it was a fun movie. I liked it. I definitely want to show it to my oldest. I think he would love it. It was Tron meets Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely one I plan on especially picking up on the 4K Blu-ray when it
visually, it's a really cool movie.
Yeah, I saw it in the Dolby Cinema, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so no, it was cool. I'll definitely be picking it up when it comes out. It's there's so many flashbacks and, you know, childhood memories in that film.
Oh yeah.
So, but no, it was cool. So All right. Let's wrap things up here. I think that's it. Well, that's it for now. We're slowly getting caught up here. But that was a big chunk of it. The big Halloween Horror Nights announcements, the 20th Animal Kingdom. And we still got some stuff to talk about next week. So we'll probably be for a little while be on a regular schedule here. As far as topics, we don't have any special guests planned here. Maybe Ryan. I want to try and get Ryan on to talk about Pixar Fest. So
yeah, and maybe, I might be able to. I'm working on getting someone on to talk about Steel Vengeance. So.
Oh, okay, cool, good deal. All right,
but follow us at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page, facebook.com/thrillgeek. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thrillgeek, where we have videos of the Animal Kingdom 20th anniversary celebration, the new bird show, the Pandora conservation suit mech guy, and there's also a Legoland Star Wars Days video. So,
yeah, that's something that
content up there.
I'll talk about next episode is Star Wars Lego Days at Legoland Florida, which was a blast. So, but that's for next time. So, all right. That's it, Barry. Anything else real quick?
Nope.
All right. Done. Good deal. Thanks again, guys, for listening, and we'll see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.